of God here today. Well, we have a very special Sunday, of course, being Resurrection Sunday. But this morning, we are going to be serving communion. And I know that we have a lot of visitors here with us today. And you might be asking yourself, what is necessary or what is required to take communion here at Family Church? Well, our only requirement is the Bible's only requirement, right? That you're born again, that you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, that you've entered into that faith with your Heavenly Father, and then you can receive communion today. We would love to see that happen as you're walking with the Lord. Let's get into the Bible. Of course, we're going to have a shortened message. Is there such a thing around here? Do you believe in miracles here today? Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. And today I'm going to call this message, Jesus Carried It All. Jesus Carried It All. Go to Isaiah chapter 52. We're going to start there in verse 12. So often we go to Isaiah chapter 53 and we start there. But today we're going to back up because these verses are included as well. So many times we forget that when the Bible was put together, we know that originally there weren't chapter and verses, right? We know that the chapter and the verses, they were added later, you know, the numbered chapters and the numbered verses. That was added later so it would help us to know where to find scripture in the Bible. But we know that originally it was all just written together. It flowed all together. And so we're going to back up there. Go up to Isaiah 52. And we're going to start actually in verse 13 here in just a moment. But today we're celebrating the greatest moment that has ever taken place. Not just in human history, but it is the greatest moment that has taken place in all of eternal history. The resurrection of God's only Son. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. This moment and the moments that led up to it not only prove that God exists, but it proves that the Bible is God's word and that it proves that God has a plan for every single one of us. It proves that God has declared who he is and what he requires of us. Amen. How many of you believe that that's essential to know in this life? Amen. And you're going to see here in just a moment, what we're going to read is going to show and reveal to all of us how just significant the word of God is. God is real. His word is real. The Bible is absolutely God's word. Go to Isaiah 52, and we're going to start there in verse 13, actually. And it's starting to talk about somebody that we're very familiar with here. This passage of scripture is about who, everybody? It's about Jesus. Now you say, okay, well, that shouldn't be, an uncommon thing to read a passage in the Bible about Jesus. Well, listen for things as we read about certain things that Jesus accomplished, things that happened in his life, and you're going to see exactly why the Bible is so significant. Look at verse 13. This is God the Father talking about Jesus, the Messiah, or his son. He says this, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and he shall be very high." Verse 14, it says, "As many were astonished at you, his visage," or his appearance, "was so marred or disfigured more than any other man, and his form," or his appearance, or his shape, "was disfigured more than the sons of men." Folks, when was Jesus's form and his appearance very disfigured? At the cross. Boy, wasn't it true that even before Jesus got to that cross, he was beaten, he was flogged, he was just whipped and battered and all those things, that by the time that he even came to be nailed on that cross, he was so brutally punished that the Bible is saying now that his form was more disfigured than any other man that we've ever known. All right. In verse 15, it says, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." Now, when you see that word sprinkle, you might be sitting here saying, what in the world is that talking about? Remember in the Old Testament how the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb upon the people of Israel for the remission or the atonement of their sins. And remember, it was just for the nation of Israel. And now the Bible is saying that there's coming one who will sprinkle his blood or put his blood upon the nations of the earth, and many nations will be washed and cleansed by his blood, to the point it says the kings of the earth shall shut their mouths at him. They will have no idea what to even say. Remember Pontius Pilate. Remember when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate on that day, and Pontius Pilate said, do what you want with him. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want his blood on my hands. Remember, Herod was, of course, you know, he died and all that because he withstood the plan of God. And so we saw these things come to pass in Jesus' life. It says, for that which they had not been told, them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. But God said, there's coming one who's going to sprinkle his blood upon the nations, cleanse us with that powerful blood. The kings of the earth won't know how to answer him. The kings of the earth won't know what to do with him. They won't be aware of how to approach what God was doing. He was astonished. He was marred. He was disfigured. He was beaten, and his blood was given to all the nations of the earth. Does this sound like somebody? Yes. Amen. Who's this passage about? Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, again, that's not a big deal. Of course, there's going to be a passage in the Bible about Jesus. Well, there's just one thing about this passage coming out of Isaiah. It was written 740 years before Jesus Christ ever showed up on the earth. And God was showing the earth, I will tell them what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son. He is going to be disfigured upon a cross, and his blood is going to be given the nations. There is no other book in the world. There is no other God that tells us what he is going to do before he does it. Folks, the Bible is filled with things like that. There are events that are coming to pass every day that the Bible told us would happen. Folks, you never want to bet your life against the Word of God. You don't ever want to just think that the Bible is just some old dusty religious book, or that it's just filled with stories, or it's myth or something like that. The scripture tells us what's going to happen, and then God performs it, and he performed it. But we're not done here. Let's keep reading this passage. It's still talking about Jesus. Go down to chapter 53 and verse 1. It says, who has believed our report? Who believed that God sent his son? Who believed this Messiah would show up and sprinkle the nations with his blood? I'm going to answer that question for myself. I believe the report of the Lord. Now, you need to answer that question for yourself. Do you believe the report of the Lord? I believe it. It says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It says, for he, it's talking about this Messiah. For he shall grow up before him, meaning Jesus will grow up before God as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no natural form of nor comeliness, meaning he doesn't have a regal look to him. And it says, and when we shall see him, there is no natural beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. Surely he has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, say the next three words, we are healed. Is there somebody that you know that was crushed for your iniquity? Is there somebody that you know that was bruised for your chastisement of your peace? Yes, amen, glory to God. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God put upon him the iniquity of us all. 740 years before Jesus Christ went to that cross and bore our sins, the Bible told us what God was going to do. If God has spoken it, he will make it good. He will fulfill his promises. He will be faithful. Do not bet against the word of God, everybody. This moment proves God is real, proves that God wants to save us and redeem us and have a relationship with us. It proves that God made a way for all of us to have our sins washed so that we could have eternal life. Verse 7, it says, he, Jesus, was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opens not his mouth. Remember, Jesus before Pontius Pilate would not defend himself. Remember, he just stood there silent and did not, you know, take up his own case, just like the Bible said it would happen. And so that's how Jesus behaved in that moment. It says in verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Because of the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Notice the Bible says that Jesus was buried amongst the rich. Remember, there was a man that had a rich man's tomb that donated it to Jesus Christ. Remember in the Bible, his name was Joseph of Arimathea. And so again, the Bible predicted exactly where Jesus would be buried. It predicted why Jesus was disfigured beyond the look or the form of a human being. And we're going to talk about why. But go back up to chapter 53 and verse 4. Today, I'm going to give you three things that Jesus Christ carried for every single one of us. Amen. Did you notice over and over in this passage, it kept saying, he bore our sins, he bore our iniquities, he carried our transgressions, right? Amen. Jesus carried these things for us. Number one, are you ready? The number one thing that Jesus Christ carried for you and for me is our sins. He carried our sins. Now, it says here, go down to verse 5. Of course, in verse 4, it's talking about what he carried. And then in verse 5, it says that he was crushed for our iniquities. He was bruised, right? He was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus Christ on the cross carried your sin and my sin as well. Amen. He carried the sins. The word to carry, it means literally to lift the burden. It means to carry the weight thereof, or to take the burden off one and to place it upon your shoulders. Jesus Christ lifted the burden of sin off from you and me. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't even realize the burden of sin that I have. Our sin is our debt that we owe to God. And it was a debt that none of us could pay. And it was a debt that none of us had enough to ever, you know, give that would ever satisfy that debt. God knew it. If mankind was ever going to have any hope, if we were ever going to have a relationship with God, we needed a Savior or somebody who could pay that debt and carry and lift the burden of our sins. Amen. Folks, no human soul will ever enjoy any true rest on this in this life until that burden of sin is lifted off their shoulders. Because there is something that is written in the hearts of every human being that we know that there is a reckoning day that is coming. There is a reckoning day. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it says, for man is appointed once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is going to come a time when we will stand before God and give an account of our lives and whatever happened to the sins that we committed against God. And the good news is that the Bible's now telling you that Jesus went to that cross to carry and to lift those burdens, to carry the weight of it so you and I wouldn't have to be burdened with it, to free you, to give you the rest that you can face judgment day with complete confidence because you're not carrying your sin anymore. You allowed Jesus, you believed in his sacrifice, his resurrection, that Jesus became guilty for you so that you could stand before God innocent someday. Oh, are you here? No human soul will ever have rest in this life until that burden is lifted. No human soul will ever have peace or any true joy until they know that they're at peace with their Creator. No human being will ever enjoy or be fulfilled or satisfied in this life until they know their Creator and they know Him as their Heavenly Father. Amen. Lift that, get out from under the burden of sin. Let the blood of Jesus Christ destroy those addictions in your life. Let that blood wash you and cleanse you and change your character. You know, look at the sacrifice of Jesus. Let it inspire you to live for the Word of God. Stop committing adultery. Stop using profane language, not because you're just trying to follow a rule, but because you're trying to honor the sacrifice that someone else lifted and paid a debt that you were unable to pay. Folks, every single one of us, we're on death row. Every single one of us. And maybe you're here today and you're still on death row and you don't even know it. Without Jesus Christ, without the burden of our sins being lifted, without putting our faith in that sacrifice of Jesus, we are still accountable for our sins. And when we're accountable for our sins, the Bible says that literally we will face eternal judgment. And here's a message that a lot of, you know, the body of Christ, churches all across our country don't want to tell you because they don't ever want to say something that would, you know, be uncomfortable. But folks, it's the truth. There is a hell. There is a reckoning day. There is a judgment that will be passed upon those that are still accountable for their sins. But we've got good news. Heaven is real. Jesus went to that cross. He rose again. He lifted your burden. He carried your sins for you so you will not have to carry them yourself in that day. That day I stand before God, Jesus will not be my judge. He will be my defense attorney. And He will look to the Father and He will say, Father, I carried His sins. He put His faith and trust in my resurrection. He is your son. He is your child. And I will be absolutely pronounced innocent before God, not because of my own goodness, but because of the blood of Jesus and the fact that He carried my sins. You're never going to know your eternal purpose until that sin is lifted off you. Your marriage is never going to truly be happy until the burden of sins is lifted off from it. Your kids are never going to know the joy of a happy home life until the sins and the burdens are lifted off of that home life. Are you here today? And so this is what Jesus did for us, but let's ask ourselves, what are we doing for Him? See, this is what won my life over. I did not decide to follow God because it was a rule-oriented, you know, relationship with Him. I decided to give my life to Jesus because He first gave Himself for me. Amen. Glory to God. He carried our sins. Amen. We'll never be fulfilled. We'll never be enriched. We'll never be satisfied until we know our Lord and our Savior. And not just accept His salvation because we want fire insurance, but we accept His salvation to enter into a brand new relationship and to discover God's plan for our lives. Here's the second thing that He carried for us. You go up to verse 4. It says in verse 4, surely Jesus Christ has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, that's the King James Version, and that's the, you know, the English language as we have it. But how many of you know the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew? And we got to study that language because it's a lot more sophisticated than English. And we have to, you know, do a little work. Yes, it means griefs and sorrows. But literally translated, when you see the word griefs there is the Hebrew word for sicknesses and diseases. And the word sorrow is the Hebrew word for pains. All right. And yes, it even includes the sicknesses and diseases of our body. But folks, I'm here to tell you that what Jesus Christ carried for us on that cross was to make us healthy, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. It's not only the health of your body, but it's also the health of your mind. Can we bring this up in the Amplified Bible? Let me show you a scholarly rendition of the Bible that helps us to understand what it's talking about. It says, surely Jesus has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses and our distresses. Jesus not only carried our sins, but he carried those things that would try to plague us in this life. And I'm going to explain more of that and the reason why he did that here in just a moment. He bore our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses. How many of you have ever felt distress before? All right. We know that there's a lot of challenges in this life that would tempt us to be worried. But how many of you know Jesus carried the cares for our life? That Jesus literally bore or carried the distresses, the worries, or the things that would try to burden our minds. Folks, it's the good news that when something tries to burden us, we can give it to God. We can claim that Jesus Christ carried it for us so we don't have to carry those burdens in this life. Folks, I'm here to tell you that, you know, yes, challenges will come. Tough times happen to all of us, but you do not have to live a life that is filled with worry. You do not have to live a life that's full of burdens and in troubles of your mind and so on. Jesus bore our weaknesses, our distresses. He bore our sicknesses as well. Notice it says he carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Folks, I've got good news for you. Not only is Jesus the living Savior, he is also the living healer. Why did Jesus heal the human body? Why does God take interest in your personal health? It doesn't mean you won't go through challenges in your health, meaning it doesn't mean you won't be, you know, tested or tried in that way. But I'm here to tell you that God's got a plan. He is a supernatural healer because the body, your body, upon making Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, it becomes the temple of the living God, the Bible says. God has a desire to bring you out of addictions. God has a desire to bring you out of sickness and disease because he has a vested interest in your body. And also, God did that for us because we are part of his body. Yes. Amen. Because he loves us. Because he's merciful. Amen. He is a healer. All right. Amen. I'll tell you what. This is God proving his love for us. This is God showing his mercy for us. But now we're going to take it one step further and talk about something that very few talk about. We don't consider this when it comes to why Jesus bore our sickness. There's a lot of church denominations today, churches that once believed in the healing of God, and now they're starting to depart from it. They're starting to leave it. COVID really convinced them to stop believing, you know, in healing and so on. Folks, I'm here to tell you, our circumstances should not tell us what we believe. The word of God should tell us what we believe. And I'm here to tell you, there's a reason why God had Jesus carry our sickness, our disease, and our pains. See, when I was, you know, meditating on this passage of scripture, I was, you know, just, you know, listening to what the Lord would said. And he took me one step further. He actually talked to me about leprosy, especially how it's mentioned in the Bible. How many of you have seen many times, both Old Testament and New Testament, the disease of leprosy is mentioned several times? And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and started dealing with me about leprosy. I hadn't even looked at this scripture in the Amplified. And then I didn't even realize it until I pulled this scripture up last night in our Erie service. And all of a sudden, the Amplified makes sure to include as if with leprosy. And see, this is going to bring us to the third and final thing that Jesus carried for us that we're talking about here today. Yes, he carried our sickness and our disease so we can enjoy health in our body and health in our minds. Absolutely, 100%. It is a blessing of God, okay? But there's more to it than that. And the reason why we should not sit in debate about whether it's God's will to heal. I'm here to tell you it is God's will to heal. I'm here to tell you that God is a wonderful healer, but that doesn't mean everything is automatic. We gotta, you know, we can't, you know, teach all the ins and outs of it right now, but I'm just here to tell you God has a desire to see his children healthy and whole. Is there anybody else here today that want to see your kids healthy and whole? Do you think God loves you at least as much as you love them? Where's that verse? Matthew 7:11, the verse, not the convenience store, right? Can you bring that up for us? Matthew 7:11, let's bring that up real quick. These are the very words of Jesus himself. Jesus says, if you then being evil, ooh, ouch. That's not the Lord trying to criticize us. That's him saying in relative comparison, we are evil compared to God. Yeah. True, right? Relatively speaking, of course, he made us the righteousness of God through his blood, but he's just saying our nature and our flesh is evil compared to himself. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts, everyone say good gifts, to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to him that ask him? Whatever you do for your kids, he'll do more for you. The love that you have for your children, he loves you more. Your love for your kids is evil in relative comparison to his love for you. Aren't you glad? So yes, God loves us. Yes, he wants us healthy and whole. But see, the reason why Jesus carried our sicknesses, are you ready? The third and final thing that we're going to talk about here today. Remember in the Old Testament, remember when there was somebody who was in the Israelite camp? Remember when they were stricken with leprosy? Remember what happened when they had leprosy? God commanded, and the priests and all that, they commanded that somebody who was smitten with leprosy, remember Miriam, Moses' sister? Remember there was other examples? Remember when somebody was stricken with leprosy, what was the requirement by law? What was gonna happen to that person? They had to be cast out of the camp. When it was seen that someone had leprosy on their body, which was a skin disease, God required, and now we're going to learn why. And I know it sounds so harsh, but trust me, it's the mercy of God. They had leprosy, and God said, all right, separate them from the camp. And what it was is it came across, it was a form of rejection. And leprosy is a symbol, or it is a representation of being thrust outside of the camp or being rejected by God. In symbolism, it represents sin, all right? You know, it's again, not that somebody who's sick is automatically at fault for that. I'm just saying God used it as an illustration, as a form of rejection. So you say, oh my goodness, God was so harsh. Why did he do that? He was doing that so he could prove to all generations, if you were an Old Testament Jew, can you go back to Isaiah 53, verse 4? When you see a scripture that talks about Jesus Christ, a Messiah that would one day carry your diseases, the root of that is God saying he's gonna carry your sins. Yes, he's gonna carry your diseases so he can carry your rejection. The third thing that Jesus carried for us on the cross is the rejection before God. Jesus was rejected so you and I would never have to be rejected standing in front of God. See, leprosy and those diseases, they were a symbol of being rejected. They had to be put outside the camp. And God was trying to tell them there's coming a day when those diseases will not reject you. There's coming a day when God's rejection, it'll be dissolved. It'll be carried by the Messiah. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 27. Go to Matthew 27. Say, Pastor, are you saying that people that get sick, is there anybody that's ever had a sickness in their body before? Yes. How many of you know in the New Testament, we're not rejected because of that? Amen. God wants to be our healer. He wants to provide for us. But we have to know what it represented back there and why Jesus carried it for us. He carried it for us for this moment that we're going to look at right now. And we're going to end right here. Go to Matthew chapter 27. Folks, Jesus Christ went to that cross and carried the rejection of God. Remember, those illnesses of the Old Testament, they were just, you know, they were used as a metaphor or a symbolism. And Jesus went to that cross to make sure that nobody would be thrust out of the camp, that nobody would be rejected if they didn't want to be rejected. Folks, we have an opportunity to be in a relationship with God where He would never cast us out, never reject us because of sin. Leprosy was used as an illustration of sin, so we understand the metaphor that's being told to us. Go to Matthew 27:45. Look at over here. This is the moment when Jesus was on the cross. Look at this. Jesus is hanging on the cross at this moment. And it says, and from the sixth hour, that's our noon. All right? In the Jewish timetable, the sixth hour was our noonday. It says, and now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour or 3 p.m. How many of you know noon to 3 o'clock is supposed to be the brightest part of the day? All 3 hours, while Jesus Christ was on that cross, the whole land was darkened. And maybe we can, you know, think of an illustration that would make sense to us. How many of you remember about a year ago, we had a complete solar eclipse here? And remember how just different that was? I'll tell you what, it felt downright biblical. All of a sudden, the land went dark in the middle of the afternoon. The peepers came out. We heard roosters crowing, you know. All of a sudden, you know, we saw the stars come out in the middle of the afternoon. It probably looked a lot like that while Jesus hung on that cross. And everybody started to realize, hey, something big is really taking place here. And so up until 3 p.m., Jesus was hanging on that cross, and now He's about to die. And the last words that Jesus ever said on the cross are in verse 46. In Jesus, about the ninth hour, so the very moment before He died, 3 p.m. in the afternoon for you and I, Jesus cried or shouted with a loud voice, and He said, Eli, Eli, easy for me to say, Sabachthani. How about that? We'll go with that one. I was close. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani is how we say it. There we go. My quota is working now. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? At this moment, just before Jesus died on that cross, as He hung there, all of a sudden He shouted with a loud voice. All of a sudden, at that moment, God forsook and denied and rejected His Son for the first time in all of eternal history. Jesus was there on that moment, and all of a sudden, He shouted out because Jesus sensed in His spirit His connection with the Heavenly Father was broken for the first time ever. For the first time ever, God turned His back upon His Son. For the first time ever, Jesus was rejected. Why? What was happening at that moment? At that moment, Jesus became your sin. He became my sin. He became guilty for all the sins of humanity. He became responsible for every rotten thing that has ever taken place on this earth. Jesus, at that moment, in the eyes of God, became a murderer. In the eyes of God, Jesus became every rotten thing you can possibly imagine. He became a liar in the eyes of God because humanity was filled with liars. He became a murderer. He became a thief. He became a rapist. He became a cheat, anything you could possibly. He became an addict. He became all of it. Why did the scripture say that He was disfigured more than any other man? What would a human being look like if he was carrying all the diseases of the earth and carrying all the sins of the earth? There is no human being in flesh that ever was disfigured like Jesus Christ was as he was nailed to that cross. And He shouted at that moment, God, why have you turned your back on me? You know, we could actually provide that answer for God. God could have looked at Him and said, because you're now a sinner. You are now responsible for all the sins that Tim Stallman ever committed. You're now responsible for all the sins that all of us committed. You have now are becoming sin so that they could become innocent and be washed and to be saved. And at that moment, Jesus was bearing our sin. And then something happened that we cannot look past. Jesus cried and shouted because He was overwhelmed in his soul with a crushing and debilitating rejection from God. Jesus Christ was filled with a sense of doom that any sinner would feel if they heard the words from God, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." The scripture says it over and over, how God will look at someone who is responsible for their sins and he'll say, "Depart from me." Remember? Jesus said they will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is going to come a moment for anyone who's never made Jesus their Lord and Savior of their life. And if they die in their sins and they stand before God, they will hear those words, "Depart from me." And they will be flooded with an overwhelming sense of doom, knowing that God, the creator of all heaven and earth, has now rejected them. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ has already paid that price. He already went through that moment of doom and despair. Jesus at that moment was going through an experience that felt like he was doomed and there was no hope of ever getting it back. Jesus went through that so that you and I will never, folks, I am free of that doom. Are you free of that doom? I will never, never, never have to experience what Jesus just went through because he took and carried that for me. Don't ever find yourself in a moment where all of a sudden you're standing before God and he would have to say to you, "Depart from me." Don't ever experience that sense of doom. And some people say, "Well, I've been a pretty good person. God will let me in." No, 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 no. God does not care how good you've been. What? God does not let you into heaven based on how good you've been. Say, "Well, Pastor, I've been a really upstanding person. I've been good to everybody. I'm a giver and I'm just a nice person. I've never hurt anybody. I even pay my taxes on time." Well, guess what? That's not what saves you. The Bible tells you what saves you. You can be the perfect, most moral person, hardworking, greatest parent on earth. And then if you're trusting in your own morals, you will be lost. Because the Bible says that your righteousness, your own morality is but filthy rags before him. Romans 10:9, can you bring that up? Here's how you make sure you never are faced with that moment of rejection that Jesus took for you. Romans 10:9, praise the Lord, we'll back it up. There it is. "For if you confess or speak." Do you know it takes real courage to have to address spiritual issues in your life? Confession, yes, is of course what we say with our mouth, but it's because we've looked within ourselves and we've made a judgment call and we've held ourselves accountable before God. If you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice salvation is not purchased by what you do. Salvation can only be purchased by what Jesus Christ did. He loves you. He went to that cross. He carried your sins there. He went to that cross. He carried your sicknesses and diseases there because it represented he went there and he experienced your rejection for you. There's nothing more relieving than knowing that I will never stand before God and be rejected. Do you have that confidence here today? Well, we're going to give you an opportunity. Don't ever forget what Jesus carried for you and why he carried it. Amen. Aren't you glad? You say, "Well, Pastor, this seems heavy."